Songwriters out there, this is the workshop for you. It's the songwriting process. We've got some incredible musicians up here on the stage. Sharky and Josiah from the Grand Slambovians. Brought the rock to the folk festival last night. Over here we've got Ellis Paul. Dan Navarro, who told me he's got all types of things planned. Right, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then in the back, we can't forget Annie. Annie Wenz. And Eric Lee doing the accompaniment. All right.
Hi, guys. How do we talk about the songwriting process? Or do we just play through the songwriting process?
If we could just turn up the other tent, that would be great.
Excellent. Absolutely. And we'll write a song to it.
Because everything is going to be inspired by a really heavy kick drum.
We'll figure out a song of that before this afternoon is done. The answer to what is the songwriting process is a little bit like when your nine-year-old says that the answer to something is because there is no rhyme or reason to it, even though we try to make rhyme and we don't need a reason. The answer is yes. You know, do the lyrics come first or the music come first? And the answer is yes. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it is with me. Every song is different. I've had songs take literally 10 minutes to write, not exaggerating, and I've had songs take 8 years to write. How about you guys?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I had some of my best songs are written in 5 minutes and in 5 years. It just depends on the song.
I mean, I have a song that took me about 2 minutes to write called Nose Hair. It's never been performed live. So, but
it'll take me 5 years to forget it, actually. Yeah.
Let me do a song that literally took about 12 minutes to write. I was working with my co-writer on this. He started playing a progression. I made up some lyrics on the fly, and it basically turned out to be the whole first verse. First of all, it's the last line of the verse chorus. It doesn't have a proper chorus. And I just made it up. He said, "Where did that come from?" I said, "I don't know." And so we wrote it down. And he said, "Well, let's keep going." And I made up the second verse. And by then, about 4 minutes had passed. And he said, "Well, let me see what I can do." And he came up with the bridge. And I said, "Well, shit, I know where this story..." I didn't actually use the S word. I said something much worse. And so I came up with the third verse, and the story was written, and it was literally under 10 minutes. And we were so terrified of it, partly also because it sort of predicted the end of his marriage and my relationship. Tell the same story. Filled with thoughts and deeds that fall out of line. Maybe we could work it out if I knew what love's about. But I think she's got the best of me this time. Now I cover my tracks so she won't see through me. As I paint a laughing face on my darker side. But the lights, they always show as if I didn't know. But I think she's got the best of me this time. How does it end? I never know. Some things that hurt are best left untold. And where do you begin to tell someone you love it's all a mistake? No, it never really was. As she lies there, so safe in her dreamland, I stop and I wonder where we'll end up in time. Then I turn around and I drift away. Maybe I'll tell her some fine day that I think she's got the best of me this time. Yeah, I think she's got the best of me this time. Mm-hmm, yeah, I think she's got the best of me. Thank you all so much. Best 11 minutes I ever spent in my whole life. That's not a very good thing to admit in public.
I have a new song. This is probably my most recent song, and I'm still doing minute tweaks. My songs go through 3 or 4 edits before I actually record them generally, and I'm on around the third on this. It's about my daughter. She's 6 years old. And the thing I wanted to capture about her was the opposites, how she is hot and cold, soft and hard. And this song is called Hold Me, Scold Me. My daughter is an anti-princess. She's not my oldest daughter is a princess, and she is the anti-princess. For Halloween, she was Merida from the movie Brave. You know that character? Very feminist kind of character. And she got a costume with an enormous afro red wig and a working bow and arrow. A working bow. She was hunting the cat for 3 months. The cat started losing hair, and we just had to get rid of it because its anxiety had just grown enormously. Writing songs about things you love makes for great songs. You button on my shirt, your eyes look hurt. I'm leaving, but I ain't going home. This is where I belong. You got blue eyes like a moon. Your daddy's love a drone. You move just like a whippoorwill. Sitting on a whiskey still. You hold me, scold me. You give me trouble, but the trouble ain't bad. You change me, can you blame me? It's the best love I've ever had. You get hotter than a wood stove, sweeter than a peach grove. They grow in rows and I can't keep time. I can't believe that you're mine. You hold me, scold me, you give me trouble, but the trouble ain't bad. You change me, can you blame me? It's the best love I've ever had. Very short.
Yeah. for me, songs come in a lot of different ways. This song, we pick songs just based on kind of the oddity of how they were written, you know. So I hope the songs are okay, but they seem to fit the talking about the song process. I mean, this particular song, we had recorded a song that was called Already Broken. Sorry, we kind of blew it out in the dance tent. I still haven't recovered quite yet. But we had this song that was called Already Broken, and one of my twin sons really liked this particular simple riff in the song. It's just repetitive riff. And he said, you know, you should take that riff and write a song around it, Dad. So I just kind of took that to heart, and I went up in the attic for a few months and played the riff. Really, what I mean is, you know, I tried to write a bunch of things to the riff, and a lot of things were okay. And then something just kind of descended down upon the song, upon the riff, that just was something very different than I expected. And I sometimes say that I attribute that to the ghosts. You know, I think some of the people that write songs and go to the spirit world and don't know what to do with themselves see somebody sitting down trying to write something, and they do the little committee thing and try to get their 2 cents in on it, you know. I think those kind of songs, when you write them, there's like something in it for you to learn. So it's not a song you write from your experience, but it's something as you play it, you start to learn things from it. And so this little simple song came down, and I knew that this was the song that went with the riff. Hopefully we'll be able to play it. But now, well, you know what? I should stand up. I'm trying to sit down, but I can't stand up. What the song's about, I've been learning over the years what it's about and understanding it more and more. So it's called Baby Jane. I really hope we can do this. If not, I'll play something more ham-fisted. Yeah, there are things they try to sell. What they're worth, I cannot tell. We spend so much time just surviving. We let heaven go to hell. You gotta move on, Baby Jane. The way they think will make you go insane. Steal your love and then slam your name. Well, that's all right. They cannot steal your light. Yeah, they can never steal your light. Move on, Baby Jane. wrote this song for you tonight, to let you know I love you light. But we can't stop here, we'll start sinking. We gotta move until we get it right. We gotta move on, baby Jane. The way they think will make you go insane. I'd steal your love and then slam your name, 'cause you're so fine. I wish that you were mine. I even wish that you were mine. But you just move on, baby Jane.
So I played you an 11-minute song. This one's a 4-year song. I came up with the chorus one night, and I'm one of those weird guys who, the part that comes out easy is the chorus. My problem is always second verses, because I get the story set up, and then I kind of deliver it, and then I don't know what the hell to do after that. So I was sitting around for probably a year and a half trying to write a second verse to this, and a friend of mine named Jenny Yates, a wonderful Nashville-based songwriter, came over and we got to chatting, and I didn't realize that as we were chatting, she was taking notes. I was talking about being the guy who liked to be the first at parties and the last one to leave, and I definitely never wanted to miss anything. All I had was a chorus that I didn't completely understand. So she writes this verse, and it's really cool, and I'm thinking we might be done, except for the fact that it was going from the verse to the beat through the B section. And it was too long, because I was, you know, I got to the end of the verse and then I wanted to go. And by then I was bored to death. My late partner Eric Lowen heard it and said, "You don't even need to do that. Just go straight to the chorus." And it was too abrupt. From that point on, we're talking 2.5 years. And then finally we're getting ready to make a record, and I said, "I'd like to revive that song, but I don't know, man, that section." He goes, "Shut up, it's good, just go straight to the thing." And what I ended up doing was, I just ended up doing a 4-beat thing. That was it. Except I played it right. And then came in with the chorus. Problem solved. It took 8 seconds to solve the problem. Took me 4 years to get there. And this is what we ended up with. First to come and the last to go, right there in the thick of it, I wanna be in the know. Small, small talk, big, big deals, around the world, around the block on training wheels. I hope I don't miss it. I hope I don't stay too long. Hope I don't say something that I really mean that comes out wrong. I hope I don't lose it. Hope I get it before I'm gone. Hope that I'll know it when I find the place where I belong. Songs about songs, just shut up and sing. Say it how you mean it, and let that be the reasoning. Time moves on and I'm waiting for the call to get it up or get it out if there's a point to it all. I hope I don't miss it. I hope I don't stay too long. Hope I don't say something that I really mean that comes out wrong. I hope I don't lose it. Hope I get it before I'm gone. Hope that I'll know it when I find the place where I belong. When I try too hard, when I use my will, the hours pass like streetcars with yesterdays yet to fill. So I run this race, but it's all uphill. Maybe I can make it mine, a standing still. I hope I don't miss it. I hope I don't stay too long. Hope I don't say something that I really mean that comes out wrong. I hope I don't lose it. Hope I get it before I'm gone. Hope that I'll know it when I find the place where I belong. I hope I don't miss it. I hope I don't stay too long. Hope I don't say something that I really mean that comes out wrong.
Thank you, guys.
Sometimes when I'm needing a song, I kind of actively seek them out. I look at movies and books I'm reading, other songs, and I ask myself, why do I love this thing so much? I'm going to do an example of a song like that. I was looking at the Steve Goodman song, City of New Orleans, which is one of the best songs in the world to me because it manages to be both a pop song and a folk song that's informative, inspiring all at the same time. And of course, it has an amazing chorus. One of the things I liked about it most was that it was written from the perspective of the train. Remember that? Good morning, America, how are you? Don't you know me? I'm your native son. I am the train they call the City of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. And I thought to myself, you know, why don't you try and find something that you can write about that you care about, that you know about, do research on it if you need to, that you can create the voice of. And so I did this with the Empire State Building, which was a lot of fun. It meant a lot of visits to Wikipedia and the History Channel and trying to get all of the crucial details of why that building is so important to us culturally. And what I came up with was the fact that it was built by immigrants during the Great Depression, right during the point where the stock market crashed, but it was a symbol of capitalism, and it was put up by the DuPont family and other rich folk, but it was built by all of these Russian immigrants and French immigrants and American Indians and Canadian Indians and this really broad group of people. And so there were, you know, 20, 30 languages being built, being spoken when the building was actually being built. because it was the Great Depression, people were doing working for next to nothing, and people were dying in the process. And five or six people died. And but it's sort of a great symbol of what makes us a country. It's about money and immigrants and hard work and dreaming big. So this is from the perspective of the Empire State Building.
Thank you.
Just following Dan's cue about songs that take a long time. This song, I was living in Queens at the time. I went into Manhattan to see the Who's movie, The Kids Are All Right. And by the time I got back to Queens, it was probably like about 5 in the morning, and I sat on a wall in Queens where I lived, and the sun was coming up, and this song started to come to me back then, but it wasn't, and I didn't finish it for 18 years. I didn't know what to do with it. It was kind of an odd song, and I didn't try to even revive it or get the idea until we created Gandalf Murphy and the Slambovian Circus of Dreams. Because the song is called Circus of Dreams, and it was an odd meter that I couldn't quite play or anything. Anyway, so we'll play that just as an illustration of a song that takes a long time to write itself. So, okay, we'll try this. This is supposed to be done with a drummer and such. Well, just, we could generally aim at it and see where we go. Make sure I made that line on too. Hey. Okay. Let's see how it does it.
Come to town, or if you fly through.
This was a song that Eric Lone and I wrote with Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles. We were at our house one day. We were stuck on an idea. I started going through her book collection. This is something that you said, Joe, about sometimes they come from book titles, sometimes they come from everywhere. So I went through her book collection and started writing down titles. Strung them together and we made a story out of it. And it actually turned out to be a story that resonated with her. She'd just gone through a breakup with somebody and found that he was in some ways attracted more to the culture of her life than the reality of it. A friend of mine also pointed out that the guitar lick on this was actually stolen from Dada, from a song called Disneyland. Immortal poems, notes from a dirty old man, sonnets from the Portuguese, given by her old boyfriend, her old boyfriend. We set this house on fire outside Providence. It was a floating opera filled with mystery, pride and prejudice. Doesn't mean that much to me, it's true. I know a lot of things I couldn't learn from you, so do with me what you will. Do with me what you will. I'd seen. We watched the lights go down in my anthology. They were pieces of time, just like Babylon. Doesn't mean that much to me, it's true. I know a lot of things I couldn't learn from you, so do with me what you will. 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 'Cause I don't care. Doesn't mean that much to me, it's true. I know a lot of things I couldn't learn from you. And I don't really miss the life we left behind. We wrote the book and I read it all the time. So do with me what you will. 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 Then walk away. There's 15 or 16 book titles in that thing.
This is a song about the late, great Johnny Cash. It's also a crowd participation song. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? All right, there we go.
Y'all ready for this?
That's the kind of volume we're going to have. It's in C sharp if you want to play along. Just the black keys. The reason I love Johnny Cash so much is he was a folk singer at heart. He's sort of the anti-country music of today in a lot of ways. This is what I want you to do just as loud as you can, ready? Kick out the light! That's it. One, two, three.
Kick out the lights.
A little louder. One, two, three.
Kick out the lights.
Bring this one up. One, two, three.
Kick out the lights.
Now just the women in between these.
Kick out the lights. Johnny Cash, Johnny Cash, Johnny Cash. Kick out the lights. Kick out the lights.
Now Johnny Cash, the man in black, was at the Grand Ole Opry, drunk on ambition, whiskey, coffee, was dancing with demons. Nothing could stop or to hide tonight, but it felt like a church. He said a little prayer, ran to the stage, taken to a big stage. He could heckle old Johnny, he wouldn't care, cause tonight he's gonna kick out the lights, kick out the lights.
Kick out the lights.
Oh,
kick out the lights.
Kick out the lights. Now you can play a big theater, the chandeliers and pearls. Range inside a stadium, the rows of pretty girls. Take your fancy jet and tour around the world. If you're alive, it's alright. Or you can pay Folsom Prison for the wildest of crooks. To 300 killers giving back dirty looks. If there's a prison riot, you're gonna get the hook. So tonight, you better kick out the lights, kick out the lights.
Sharky just picked one that we're probably going to play on the main stage, so he shouldn't play it now. But he said it, so we're going to do it. After that solo, he could get his pick. So. This song is just a simple thing. I guess it's more on the topical end of things. It's kind of about people like Syd Barrett type of people, the fragile people who couldn't quite make it in the industry, you know, who kind of wigged out. You know, a lot of people died at the age of 27 in the 60s, but then there were other ones who just kind of wigged out and didn't come back. This is a song kind of about those people. It's called Very Unusual Head. So, you know, this got a sing-along part in it, too. Not quite as good. That was it. That's a fantastic sing-along song. That was chilling. Very unusual head. It's got a very unusual head. They will take him apart when he's dead. And his very unusual head. Cause he's soaring through boring, predictable games that they play. With a glorious noise that can steal all our sad hearts away. Through the atmosphere, very unusual head. It's got a very unusual head. They will take him apart when he's dead. And his very unusual head. Yeah, they're following, swallowing everything he's got to say. But he's wallowing, hollowing, barely can get through the day, but he's coming back again.
Semi-serious here. We all have to answer the question at some point in our lives as songwriters, how autobiographical do we get? And how much detail do we put in? This is a true story. And I can tell you a little bit about it. This was inspired by a swimsuit model in a Mercedes S600. It's a real person that... She walked me to her car and then gave me a ride back to the venue. and pointed out that the car was in fact bulletproof. She said, my father bought this from a drug dealer in Miami. I said, how do you know it was a drug dealer? She said, the windows are half an inch thick. She rolled them down and showed them to me. And apparently, after she drove me back to the venue, our little good night, and we'd known each other for many, many years, our little good night turned into about 20 minutes. And I started thinking about writing a song called Making Out With You in Your Bulletproof Car. This is a true story. I won't reveal who the person is so as not to embarrass her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Tom Bentley from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But this is what came out of it. I had a dream. I flew like a bird to the top of the mountain, and there you were, bathed in the shadows, alone in the dark, with a lock and chain around your bulletproof heart. Minute by minute, time after time, body to body, crossing over the line, wrapped in each other, a shower of sparks began to melt the ice away from your bulletproof heart. Somebody tell me, please, are we really here? I opened my eyes and you disappeared. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put the genie back in the bottle again. Now I try to remember, to try to forget the way you felt that night, but it ain't happened yet. One perfect kiss blew the shackles apart to keep you locked inside your bulletproof heart.
Does anyone have any questions that's close enough to the stage that we might be able to collaboration? Yeah, I do some co-writing. I write with some people in Nashville occasionally. I'll do a song that demonstrates something that's about collaboration.
I tend to kill them off. Too soon?
I just put out a Christmas album last year, and I wrote this song with a guy named Christian Bush. He's a country star. Thank you. He's in the band Sugarland. He's the guy in Sugarland. Thank you. The cool thing about this was that he and I collaborated through an iPhone. So Steve Jobs gets songwriting credit for this as well. And Christian sent me, recorded on his iPhone, a text message, a little melody that went like this. Bum, 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 bum. 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 That's all he did, just that. And he said, what did you think? I said, I think it's ridiculous. What are you doing? He said, no, this is a great melody, but I want you to write something to it and record it on your iPhone and send it back. So this is what I wrote back to him. Love that. He said, that's it, that's perfect. And then he said, that sounds like Christmas bells to me. Does it sound like Christmas bells to you? And I said, yeah, kind of. He goes, well, why don't you write that? Write a Christmas song to that. I said, it's your turn. He said, that was my turn. This is called Christmas Lullaby. There's a sand in the window, a flag of the North Pole. Brother, your maps have done you wrong. A carol on the corner. No one ever warned you this feeling. You've been away too long. Now somewhere in this universe, someone's missing someone and it hurts. Tonight is about heartache. I'm sending you a prayer. hope it's some love you can see. On this Christmas night, may the stars shine on you bright. May you never hear a cry. That's a Christmas lullaby. Merry Christmas!
We got 10 minutes left. Do you guys want to take it on home for us?
Take it on home,
bro. That's rock and roll slang to finish it up.
Oh, rock and roll slang. We got
10 minutes left, so it's ending perfectly with you guys.
All right, so we'll do a Christmas song.
Is that a good idea?
No.
Oh, no.
Can you do that with just people like on the stage?
Yeah, yeah.
We were going to take it home with just a quiet thing, but we're in a rock and roll thing. And then we, okay. I got you through us, Dan.
Do whatever you want.
Okay. So, I was going to do this song my daughter requested, which is kind of a slow song thing. And, it's got, you know, some of you know this song. It's got a chorus thing to it that's kind of like on falsetto, which I don't know whether we've got any falsetto left. So if you know this, it goes on. This world's a lonely place. We made it such a lonely place. This world's a lonely place. We made it such a lonely place. But it's not the only place, there is just one and only place that's true. Okay, that's it, we'll try it again. This world's a lonely place, we made it such a lonely place. This world's a lonely place, we made it such a lonely place. But it's not the only place, there is just one and only place that's true. So if you get the first part right, that's even good enough. Okay, so sorry about this. Well, I'm so happy you are here with me. Yeah, I'm so happy you are here with me. Whenever I feel afraid, I close my eyes and pray, and I enter the invisible with you. Once upon a time, all our fears, we drowned in our own tears, and we entered the invisible again. Here we go. This world's a lonely place, we made it such a lonely place. This world's a lonely place, we made it such a lonely place. But it's not the only place, there is just one. That's true. And it's here.
pray, and I can turn the invisible with you. Yes, I am eternally invisible with you. I just am eternally invisible with you.
From the Grand Slam Bovians. Alice Paul! And I'm Dan Navarro. We thank you guys so very much. Hope you learned something. I sure did.